Well, I want to welcome you all to another Daily Decan on this rather chilly and rainy Tuesday morning. Although, depending on when you're listening to this, it might be neither of those things. It might not be chilly, it might not be rainy, it might not be Tuesday morning anymore. But I have to steal the line from the Godcast, wherever you are, whenever you are. Now that they've clipped that one, no one else can do that. That's one of the best openings of any podcast I hear. Speaking of podcasts, we ran into a little bit of trouble with the Spreaker, which bodes ill for Spreaker, since I'm a superstitious man. But I've been assured that we should give it another shot and see if we can't load this one on there. If we do, then it'll be up and things will be functioning like a regular podcast. If not, I'm going to explore what other options we have. I see Libsyn or Libsyn or whatever the heck it is. They've got a fee that's attached to it, and I'm a little bit shy of money at the moment, but come the end of the month, I might actually be able to open up one of those things. And once we're on there, things will be functioning a little bit more smoothly. Apparently, it's like $5 a month, so I don't know. Maybe I'll start coming to y'all begging, or I'll find some other way to bring in money for the show. If you have any suggestions, because we are planning on expanding our presence a little bit, I'm not going to be getting on Twitter, and I'm not going to be getting on Facebook. And I have officially discouraged everybody involved with the Daily Decan, which is just a very few. I say everybody. There's like two or three of us. But I encourage everybody who's involved to stay away from Facebook and stay away from Twitter. We're not extremists by most standards here. But as Christians, the world sees us as extremists. If you're a Christian, you're a dissident. You can't escape that if you're a real Christian. You believe in the creed, you confess the creed, you live the life that Jesus Christ appointed for you to lead. You're a dissident, and that makes you a target. And there's a lot of evil people out there that do very evil things, and one of the main vectors for them having access to you is using the same social media that they use. That's a personal bit of advice from just me, to stay away from Twitter and stay away from Facebook. Now, I might get on Gab. I haven't yet. It's a possibility I might. I've heard mixed reviews about this Parler thing. Don't know anything about it, so I'm going to look into it. If you have any advice, if you have any social media that you would recommend for us, we were looking into BitChute for a little while there to get videos up and going too, but now I see there's another site called Odyssey or something like that. Anyway, if you have any advice, any idea where we should go with this, feel free to go ahead and send me an email to the same email that you send your intentions. And do please send some intentions in. I would love the opportunity to pray for you and have everybody who listens to this show pray for you. At dailydecadrequests@protonmail.com. That's Decad, D-E-C-A-D-E. Requests in the plural at protonmail.com. dailydecadrequests@protonmail.com to send in advice about where we should go next, to get ourselves out there, and any into prayer intentions that you have. And most of all, the prayer intentions. The advice, happy to have it, but I really want to be a resource for people to have the power of prayer on their side. And there are so many of us here that are praying here every day. And the rosary is such a powerful spiritual weapon. You should employ it. Take advantage of this opportunity to get people praying for you. Get their guardian angels, their patron saints, and the ears of God Almighty and the Blessed Mother to your cause, however great, however small. Any man who's listening to this, particularly single men, this month, I know you have something to pray about. So we'll continue to pray for you with or without your submitted intentions, but I do encourage you to take advantage of this great opportunity that you have to tap into an audience of people who are deeply desirous that things should go well for you. As Christians, we love each other. We are filled with love, the love of God, the love of Christ, that sacrificial love. And we live that love. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a lived reality. And everyone who listens to this, everyone who hears my words, just like me, I am here doing this out of the love of Christ. You are here listening to this out of the love of Christ. None of this is self-aggrandizing to anyone. At least we should hope that it's not, and we should avoid it if we feel that it is. And so I really beg you to take advantage of this opportunity that we've created here with the Daily Decad to get people praying for you. If you believe in the power of prayer, then you know that while our prayers may be poor prayers, none of us are priests. If you are a priest, please email me and let me know. We are without patronage at the moment. All of us are laymen. All of us can pray together. And God will see our love for one another. And God is a merciful and compassionate God. And seeing that we are drawing closer to one another in Christ, He will reward us with answers to our prayers and with good ends and good tidings for all of us who trust in the love of one another to pray to God. That's an incredibly powerful and important thing about Christianity. We really are a movement of brotherhood, of love, of taking worldly love and transfiguring it, drawing it upward. Anyway, I'm preaching too much for before the rosary, so I encourage you simply to write in your intentions, write in any advice you have for us. Today we don't have any special intentions, so we're going to pray for our clarity to see God's will and to do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, weeping and mourning with this veil of tears. Turn then, all gracious advocate, thine eyes of mercy unto us. And after this, our exile, shew unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. For all those in battle, Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle, and be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, I suppose I have an opportunity here. I could continue on the sermon that I was doing before. That turned into a sermon. It wasn't meant to. Anyway, talk about Christian love. You know, Christian love is a deeply motivating thing. It clears us, clears our minds of the fog of the world as well. Because when you act with love, as it's defined by St. Paul, you act in such a way as to the definite betterment of the object of that love. And so you avoid the errors of intention. And perfect love is, in many ways, tied inextricably to perfect knowledge. God alone has perfect knowledge, but he can, with our invitation and cooperation, perfect love in us. And this is, of course, what we talk about when we talk about sainthood. One of the marks of love is that love has no half measures. It does not believe in going part of the way. Love is completely devoted. It is almost, to a point, fanatical. Our love of God should certainly be fanatical. We've talked about that before. We are meant to be fanatics for God and fanatics for Christ. We're called to be extremists in the eyes of the secular world, because the secular world does not know what love is. The secular world does not understand the love of Christ or his truth. And you cannot have one without the other. If you have partial love, you have partial truth. If you only partially love the truth, then you should only partially know the truth. And an imperfect truth is in some ways as dangerous as a falsehood. It's part of the reason why the various heathen religions damn their believers. Pilate was a particularly pious man. And by that I mean that he was devoted to Rome and to the piety that was distinctly Roman piety. He believed and honored the notion of truth, but he did not know it, and his belief system did not permit him to know it. This is why when Christ spoke of truth, Pilate's response was, "And what is truth?" Now, in the gospel, he turns away after that question, and it's meant to illustrate how Pilate stared truth in the face and could not recognize whom he was looking at. But another reading of this is that Pilate asked the question and, receiving no answer, turned away. He thought for a moment, for a brief moment, I could engage this man reasonably and we could come to some reasonable meeting of the minds. He has a philosophy about him. I believe in philosophy. Pilate would have been trained in the typical Roman style. He probably would have spoken Greek. In fact, I highly doubt that most of the conversation that took place between Pilate and Christ, I would be surprised if it were not in Greek. We know that Christ and the apostles used the Greek New Testament. That's why the Septuagint is so significant, because it has the apostolic blessing upon it. And many of the fathers of the church likewise. Christ spoke in Aramaic, and he spoke in Greek. He's God, he spoke all the languages. But when in his preaching, the evidence is there for Aramaic and Greek. So Pilate probably was conversing in Greek, the language of philosophy. But Pilate has only a partial love of the truth. He had a sort of gentleman's relationship with the truth. Gentleman's agreement with truth. He was not a zealot for truth. He was not a fanatic. He wasn't absolutely tied to the truth in a way that could not be torn away, like St. John was. Think about St. John. This boy, he follows Christ to the pavement, and at the pavement is where Peter abandons Christ and flees and hides after denying him. He's there just long enough to see Christ carried out, dragged out of the place before Pilate on his way to be crucified. And then Peter disappears. But John is there at Christ's heels the whole way up to the cross. And along with him, Mary Magdalene and our Blessed Mother. Theirs was a true love, a fanatical love. It was a complete attachment to truth. Pilate, though, has a worldly attachment to truth. He asks what is truth, he doesn't get an answer. He has this crowd baying for blood, the devil and his own children, outside of his door. And Pilate, in his reasonable way, decides he can appease the crowd. He can get them to be quiet. They want him dead. They want some punishment for this man. There's no reason to punish him, but maybe I can get them to shut up. And so he has Christ taken and scourged. There was no reason to do that. The scourging is a manifestation of the burdens and the pain and the anguish, the cutting anguish that man's hatred of God causes in God. And when we speak of anguish here, we don't mean an emotion or an imperfection, but rather a sort of regret, even is the wrong word. It's difficult to speak of it in human terms. God feels, God doesn't feel. God understands, and in understanding himself and creation, understands the separation between creation and himself and recognizes the imperfection in that separation. And this causes him something like anguish. And this anguish was made manifest in the scourging at the pillar. And in a very real way, the scourging of the pillar was the manifestation of man's imperfection, because it was the manifestation of a compromise. It was the manifestation of a lazy response on the part of Pilate and a cowardly response on the part of Pilate to look at the crowd baying for blood, to look the devil in the face, and to say, just leave me alone, I'll give you what you want, just leave me alone, and then compromising with him. As we all know, if you give the devil an inch, he will take a mile, and the same is true of his children. And so as the children of the devil are baying for the blood of Christ outside of Pilate's palace, outside on the pavement, Pilate has Christ scourged, presents him to them, and says, look, has this man not been punished and humiliated enough? And of course, they say no. Because the goal is not merely the humiliation of the scourging or the crown of thorns. The goal is the humiliation of the cross. Because just like God, the devil, being the ape of God, doesn't work in half measures. Satan always takes things all the way. It usually undermines him at the end. He always takes things too far. And it undermines him because God permits his existence, permits his interferences to test us, as we learn in the book of Job. Pilate tried a half measure. He tried to compromise. He tried to get evil to go away rather than confront it and tell it no. The Jews stood in the courtyard screaming they have no king but Caesar. And yet the face of Caesar, which was Pilate, their king, could have told them, disperse, go away. If they truly had no king but Caesar, they would have. But Pilate did not do this. Instead, he decided he would try to compromise with them to give them part of what they wanted and to appease them into going away. And Pilate's attempt at appeasement lost him not only the opportunity to recognize the face of God, but it also lost him his temporal power as well. Pilate was removed from power not long after that, and Tiberius had to flatten the city. So it did nothing. You can't appease the devil or his children. You can only stand and fight against them. You cannot entertain temptations near occasions of sin, because at that point the devil has already won. If you give in to the scourging, you will get the crucifixion. Every single time. That's how it works when you're dealing with the devil. And so my prayer is that all of us will be steadfast. All of us will have the fortitude to stand in front of the crowd, baying for the blood of our Lord. And this I mean interiorly, within us, as well as without us. If you don't perfect the inner life, you won't be able to have much of an outer life. But our focus is the inner life here. That our soul will stand before the baying for blood on the part of the demons and say no. Not to wash our hands of the affair as Pilate did. Not to take half measures and discourage Christ yet again. But to say no. To commit completely to Christ, as our Blessed Mother did, as St. Mary Magdalene did, as St. John did, as all of the apostles did after they had seen and been granted the strength of faith that the Holy Ghost gave them at Pentecost, and that all of us receive through the sacraments. May we have that fortitude. May we have that dedication. May we be filled with so much love for the truth that the word appeasement is a foreign tongue to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.